Tathā paramahamsānāṁ Mūninām amalātmanāṁ Bhakti-yoga-vidānārthāṁ Tathāṁ bhasye mahi-śriyaḥ.
You yourself descend to propagate the transcendental science of devotional service unto the hearts of the advanced transcendentalists and mental speculators, who are purified by being able to discriminate between matter and spirit. How then can we women know you perfectly? Even the greatest philosophical speculators cannot have access to the region of the Lord. It is said in the Upanishads that the supreme truth, the absolute personality of Godhead, is beyond the range of the thinking power of the greatest philosopher. He is unknowable by great learning or by the greatest brain. He is knowable only by one who has his mercy. Others may go on thinking about him for years together, yet he is unknowable. This very fact is corroborated by the queen, who was playing the part of an innocent woman. Women in general are unable to speculate like philosophers, but they are blessed by the Lord because they believe at once in the superiority and almightiness of the Lord, and thus they offer obeisances without reservation. The Lord is so kind that he does not show special favor only to one who is a great philosopher. He knows the sincerity of purpose. For this reason only, women generally assemble in great number in any sort of religious function. In every country and in every sect of religion, it appears that the women are more interested than the men. This simplicity of acceptance of the Lord's authority is more effective than showing insincere religious fervor.
I would like to thank you for giving me the opportunity to make some attempt to serve you by speaking on this illustrious verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, in this most sacred holy place of Sri Sri Radharas Vihari's temple. We find herein Queen Kunti is revealing the nature of her heart, and in doing so, Krishna is revealing the qualification of one who truly received his mercy. Queen Kunti is presenting herself as disqualified. Sometimes Prabhupada would say that a materialistic person is like a fly. Even if they are in a beautiful garden of fresh, fragrant lotus flowers, if there's one little piece of stool or sewage, the fly will ignore all the flowers and go right to that place where the contamination is present. Similarly, people who have materialist mentality, they are very eager to look for the faults in others.
But a devotee is like the honeybee. Even in a whole area of sewage, if there's one flower, the honeybee will pay no attention to the environment and go right to that flower to drink the nectar. So Rupa Goswami explains the qualification of a true devotee is he has given up the propensity to find faults in others. But when thinking about oneself, a devotee is just the opposite. A devotee is always very eager to find faults within oneself. Paramahamsas are full of all good qualities, yet they ignore all their good qualities. And they're very eager to point out any discrepancy, any shortcoming, any defect within their character, within their service. Even if it doesn't exist, they see it because that is the nature of their humility. So here we find Queen Kunti. She is the most reputed mother of the king of the world at this time. But she's only seeing her disqualification. That people say that women, they are not very philosophically inclined. And you make yourself available to those who purify themselves by discriminating between what is matter and what is spirit. The great, great philosophers, they study the scriptures scrutinizingly. They develop prowess in argument and debate. They learn how to analyze everything that they come into contact with to extract what is truth and what is illusion. And how is it truth and how is it illusion? And why is it truth and why is it illusion? But Queen Kunti, she prays, how then can we women know you perfectly? We do not have such qualification. We do not have such capacity. This is the signal of a person who is actually understanding what is bhakti. They are very eager to recognize as well as to broadcast their disqualifications. Whereas people who have material consciousness, they are very eager to recognize and broadcast their so-called qualifications. So Vaishnav culture is actually made of this substance of character. In material life, people are competing to get a higher position. But in Vaishnav culture, people are competing to take a humbler position to serve others as the servant of the servant of the servant. Srila Prabhupada himself, what kind of sacrifice and risk he made to establish his society. He was serving the devotees with absolutely no pretense. 26 Second Avenue, he would serve them, cook for them, wash their plates. And even he called for some of his godbrothers, you come and be president of this society. Let me just preach. When Prabhupada was here in Bombay, he was the one that canvassed all the people to come. And then he had others, his godbrothers, you preach. He didn't want position. He wanted service. K. Queen Kunti describes in a later verse of her prayers, Janmaishwarya Shruti Shibir Edamana Madambuma Naivarhatya Vatatumvai Tvam Akinchana Gojana. My Lord, your Lordship is easily approached, but only by those who are materially impoverished. Those persons who are materially inclined, trying to arrange a better life through high education, high parentage, physical beauty, and strength, fame, these things, they cannot call out your name sincerely. They cannot chant feelingly because they are victimized by false pride. Queen Kunti is describing the great Paramhamsas and philosophers, and Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, he is revealing a very important truth to all of us, that we can become mighty philosophers. We can memorize many scriptures, thousands of slokas. We could be masters in debate. We could elucidly present the siddhantas of Vaishnavism personally, or even to crowds of tens and thousands, hundreds and thousands of people, and keep them spellbound in rapt attention. But that is not the qualification to receive the mercy of Krishna. Prabhupada very clearly explains it. The qualification is the sincerity of one's purpose. Sometimes, because of some material opulence we may have, we think we are better than others. Krishna revealed the same principle during his transcendental lila in Vrindavan. We know the story, how those Brahmins, they were very, very educated. They were philosophers. They knew how to perform yajna and chant mantras with perfect rhythm, perfect meter, perfect pronunciation. And they were very much esteemed and respected by society. But when the cowherd boys came to beg some prasad on behalf of Krishna and Balaramji, they considered that we are doing such important work for society. And these little cowherd boys, who are they? What do they know? Why should we bother with them? We have more important things to do. So they simply neglected them. Because after all, what philosophy do little cowherd boys know? What brahminical standards have they adopted in their life? Waste of our time. Let us go on with the yajna. Krishna was not pleased with them. Yajna tat kamanon yatra lokomam karma bandara taratam karma konteya mukta sangha samaj. The purpose of all yajna is to please Krishna. If it doesn't please Krishna, it is a waste. It has no eternal value. Krishna told them, you go to their wives. They are simple. They don't know mantras, tantras, yantras. They're not philosophers. They know cooking and cleaning. They know just how to be assistant and faithful to their husbands who know everything else. That's all. When they approached the wives of the Brahmins, immediately they brought the best of their foods, even at the cost of being socially terribly embarrassed and persecuted. because it was meant for Krishna. So they attained the ultimate perfection of life when they went into the pasture grounds of Vrindavan. There they saw Krishna giving his most illustrious darshan to them, with one arm leaning on his friend in great intimacy. Just by seeing them, they were able to awaken their eternal ecstatic love. Many people saw Krishna, but they saw him according to their consciousness. Some, when they saw him, they were envious. Some saw him as an ordinary person. You cannot see Krishna with your eyes. Just like we come to the temple of Sri Radha Ras Bihari. Who can actually see that this is Radha and Krishna? It is Radha and Ras Bihari standing right before our eyes. Tens and thousands of people come to this temple, sometimes every day, and they see him. They're seeing the Supreme Absolute Truth, the personality of Godhead, with his divine consort. Why are their hearts not transformed? Why do they leave this temple and go back to their ordinary materialistic activities with the same basic consciousness? Because although Krishna is standing before him, they cannot see. Because Krishna reveals himself according to the sincerity of our purpose, Prabhupada explains. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport that the actual purpose of our temples is to provide the opportunity for people to associate with devotees. Because in that association, they hear the transcendental message of Godhead. They see the practical lives of how devotees are living in humility and devotion. And in that association, they gradually learn how to see Krishna. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would say, do not try to see Krishna. Try to serve Krishna in such a way that he wants to see you. You cannot see Krishna. But if we develop the consciousness of bhakti, service, and Krishna is pleased to see you, then he could reveal himself. Then when we come before the temple and see Sri Radha Ras Bihari, we actually see Sri Radharani and Sri Ras Bihari manifesting their divine opulences to us. They're here. So how to see the deity? Teaching that principle is the purpose of our temples. By hearing, by chanting, by serving the association of devotees, gradually we can see Krishna. So many demons came into Vrindavan, Putana, Sakatasura, Trinavarta, Vatsasura, Aghasura. They saw Krishna face to face, but their hearts did not melt. They wanted to kill him. They were envious of him. Similarly, the Brahmins, they could not see Krishna. But their wives, because they were simple and they had sincere purpose to serve him, ecstatic love erupted within their hearts upon being glanced upon by Sri Krishna. So this type of simplicity is very, very essential. We should not become distracted by who we are, or what we can do, or what we know. Because as Srila Prabhupada explains here, to whatever degree we cultivate knowledge, it will not bring us realization of Krishna. It is only His mercy by which we can know Him as He is. So this is the life of a devotee. How to understand the ways by which we can get Krishna's mercy, and to somehow or other get that mercy. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada yasya prasada nagati kuto. Prabhupada taught us this prayer. If you please Guru, automatically you get mercy of Krishna. If you do not, you cannot. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he approached his spiritual master, he considered himself a great fool. And his Guru Maharaj told him, according to what he said to Prakashananda Saraswati, "My Guru said, what do you want to waste time studying Vedanta Sutra? You're not qualified. You cannot understand it. Try to understand the cultural context of what he just said." At that time, amongst the scholars, philosophers, sannyasis, and religionists in India, the qualification for being authorized to teach or understand God was how much you understood the Vedanta Sutra. That was it. You couldn't even be accepted within a proper sampradaya unless you were being defended by that sampradaya's authoritative commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And the Mayavadi sannyasis, they would study it 8, 10, 12 hours a day in various ways, taking one word and explaining it in hundreds of ways to come to the conclusion, Aham Brahmasmi. And how proud they were! They could defeat anybody with their argument and logic on the basis of Vedanta Sutras. But Prabhupada explained to us that Danta also means teeth. So the Vaishnavas, when they speak Vedanta, they break the teeth of the Mayavadis. But how did Mahaprabhu explain himself? "You are all great scholars of Vedanta, but my Guru Maharaj, he told me, I'm not qualified to study Vedanta. He told me, you just chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Such simplicity. First he revealed his humility and his simplicity. He charmed their hearts. He actually melted their hearts. Then he spoke philosophy on the basis of Vedanta, the conclusions of Srimad Bhagavatam, and completely tore to pieces all of their arguments and logic. But not without that sincere simplicity that he revealed through how he identified himself as a fool. Just carrying the message. So in the world today, and practically throughout history, women have been oftentimes exploited, disrespected because of their simple natures. They are not as physically strong as men. They generally do not have the capacity to be philosophers like men. However, as Prabhupada explains here,
If you go to religious functions, it's practically always a majority women. Because of their simplicity, they easily accept with a spirit of service the concept of God. A few years ago, I was asked to give a lecture in Gujarat, near Surat. They had nice pandal set up. And I began my speech, trying to speak something that I learned from Srila Prabhupada. And I looked around, and there was about 499 ladies, and there was one man holding a baby. So being a sannyasi, I was feeling a little out of place. I asked all these Matajis, "Where are your husbands?" They said, "They're watching television, or reading newspapers, or playing cards, so many things." But they told us that you should go there, and you bring back the blessings for us. I think about a year or two ago, we had a Mahasatsang program near Borivali. It happened to be the day when India was playing Pakistan in cricket. And there was about 2,000 women. And the only men were a few men from our congregation. Even some of our congregation wasn't there. The women were all there. So I asked again, "Where are all your husbands?" They said, "They're all watching the cricket match." "But we don't care about cricket." Hare Krishna. I said, "In the age of Kali, women are more fortunate than men. Women are on a higher platform than men. If the men are puffed up and complicated by all their material ambitions." They were just very simply sitting there eager to hear. And then firecrackers went off, India won during the kirtan, and then we saw all kinds of men start coming to the kirtan to celebrate. So Prabhupada is here glorifying the heart that has simplicity. Vrindavan means the place of simplicity. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we read about the gopis speaking to Lord Krishna. They said that you sent Uddhav from Mathura to come to teach us how you're in our hearts, and how actually, if you meditate on me within your heart, you will always be with me. But we're simple women. We're not yogis. We can't understand all this philosophical discrimination between matter and spirit and how you're seated in our hearts. Nor are we able to sit down like yogis and meditate. We're not philosophers. We're not yogis. We're gopis. Unless we can serve you prasad, unless we can dance with you, unless we can make you happy by all of our skills and arrangements, that we cannot understand how we are with you. We are simple women. We cannot understand anything else. Therefore, Krishna, please return to Vrindavan. It is said that the mind and the heart is one. But our heart is Vrindavan. And unless you place your lotus feet in Vrindavan, we will not be able to remember you. We will not be able to serve you. So please come. So this is the ultimate level of transcendental realization. Such simplicity, such purity of purpose. And actually, this is the conclusion of all of our philosophical speculations, all of our scriptural studies. To develop that simple heart, like Queen Kunti is exhibiting today. Actually, if we study Queen Kunti's prayers, she was the greatest philosopher. The greatest philosophers throughout history in the Vaishnava school, with tears flowing from their eyes, have studied the teachings of Queen Kunti. Why? Because of the purity where it originates from, her heart. Queen Kunti is simply discarding herself as a mere woman, unqualified, asking Krishna, how can I know you? How is it possible? And through this appeal to Krishna, she is teaching the world the one and only means by which we can realize Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada wanted us to very, very seriously scrutinize and study his books. But he didn't want us to become proud philosophers. Sometimes he even invited devotees to study Sanskrit. But he didn't want his devotees simply to be Sanskrit scholars. He wanted the devotees to utilize whatever capacity we have on all levels in Krishna's service with a simple, humble heart like Queen Kunti. Then we can receive the mercy of Krishna. Thank you very much. Is there any questions or comments? Explains in one of his purports, it's better to be a simple sweeper of the street than a charlatan philosopher and meditator. Hare Krishna. We find the example of Mahaprabhu in Navadvip. The greatest philosophers and scholars in the entire planet were living in Navadvip. And Advaitacharya approached Lord Chaitanya for a benediction. Lord Chaitanya said, ask benediction. He said, give your mercy of pure prema bhakti to everyone except those puffed up philosophers and scholars who think that they're so great. Don't give anything to them.
Hare Krishna.
Suklambar Brahmachari.
Very simple.
He was learned, but nobody knew it. He would just go door to door with a little cloth bag around his shoulder to beg alms. Getting old rice, unpalatable for most people who are accustomed to luxurious foods. But yet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally ate that broken rice from his little satchel because he was just such a simple, pure-hearted devotee. Nobody in Navadvipa even knew he was a devotee. They didn't even know he had any scholarship. They didn't know he had any devotion at all. They just thought him an ordinary beggar. And that's the way he liked it. There has to be a very sensitive balance. We find, factually, Judd Bharat, he acted like a complete fool. For very good reasons. He knew, if I start speaking all the wonderful things I know how to speak, I'll become proud. I don't want to get caught up in all this material illusion of profit, adoration, distinction. So he acted like a fool, a madman. And so did Shukadev Goswami. People were just making jokes against him. They thought he was just a fool, a madman, a crazy person. Until he had an opportunity to speak with the blessings of his guru and the Vaishnavas, then he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. So by their example, we have to understand how dangerous it is to have any material opulence, even learning. But at the same time, Srila Prabhupada and all of our previous acharyas are telling us, study these scriptures, learn them well, and preach. But if we're actually studying them properly and reading about these incidents, we understand that although we're preaching, we're just very humble, simple-hearted instruments of the great acharyas. We'll repeat their words, but we'll expect nothing for ourselves. So you say that even if a person is speaking eloquently, they may not have sincerity of purpose, as Prabhupada is describing. That is a reality here in Bombay. There are so many big satsangs, kathas and lectures, of very, very erudite scholars. Some of them speaking many pastimes, from Ramayana, Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavatam. Some of them very scrutinizingly, philosophically, and logically analyzing the various slokas of Sri Bhagavad Gita. But their conclusion is not to surrender to Krishna. Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita that he was speaking from in New York City in 1966 was one of the most widely read translations of Bhagavad Gita in the entire world. It was so philosophically and logically erudite by academic standards that practically all over the Western world it was used as a textbook in universities for PhD courses for Bhagavad Gita. But Prabhupada discarded it all, because his conclusion was not to surrender to Krishna. His conclusion is that when Krishna says, remember me, worship me, he's talking about the unborn, unmanifest existence within him.
Hare Krishna.
So you may have hundreds and thousands of very, very beautifully drawn zeros. But if there's not a one in the front, it's all useless. If there's not sincerity of purpose in front, and actual devotion and humility before the previous acharyas, all of our erudite is useless. People go simply for mental sense gratification, to hear all kinds of wonderful stories and wonderful analogies and wonderful innuendos of how one word can be explained for 10 days, 3 hours a day. Hare Krishna. And everyone comes and touches the person's feet because of such brilliance. Where does such a brain come from? It's incomprehensible. But by the acharya's standards, the simple housewife cooking some roti and dal, sweeping the floor, she's 100 million times more advanced spiritually than him, because she has sincerity of purpose. She's humble, chanting the holy names. So the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is essential to understand. And as preachers, according to our abilities, we should learn it and we should present it boldly. Prabhupada sent 3 women and 3 men to London to start a center. And they started a revolution. One of the women was holding a little newborn baby. She started a revolution in Krishna consciousness, pure bhakti spreading in one of the most important cities in the world. But previous, even great, great philosophers, learned, erudite scholars of Mayavad, Vaishnavism, they couldn't do anything substantial.
Yari deka tari kaha Krishna upadesh amara koi guru hai tari desh.
Mahaprabhu ordered us to be guru by just repeating the message of our parampara. Just repeat that message. According to your capacity, Prabhupada would say, just preach according to your realizations. Therefore, we want to learn more and more and more. However, we should never forget the essence that the mercy of the Lord will come to me not according to how much I learn, but according to the sincerity of our purpose, how we are applying the principles that we learn. And for this reason, Srila Prabhupada explains, women are in a superior position than men. Therefore, we should honor every woman as mother. Especially Vaishnavis. They should be honored and respected with reverence. We should not think because we have position, high learning, or any of these other material attributes that we are superior to them. Because what makes a person superior or inferior is dependent on the sincerity of purpose. That means that humble spirit of devotion and willingness to serve. Is there any other questions? Yes, Nayana Ranjan Prabhu.
Humility is to serve without pride. Prabhupada explained that Arjuna was very humble.
Not only that, Arjuna was actually nonviolent because he was fighting and killing people to uphold the Dharma in the service of Krishna. But Arjuna understood that he was not the one killing. He was just the instrument. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur manifested a very profound state of humility, because he saw there was someone who was corrupting the pure message of Bhagavan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was cheating people from receiving the genuine mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Thus his humility was to act on behalf of the Lord to eradicate that deviation. So yes, we should see the good in others. But if there is a deviation that is misleading others, that is corrupting pure Dharma, then humility means, according to our capacity, to crush that misconception, to put light in that darkness. But he wasn't doing it to propound his own glory. He was doing it as a servant of the Lord, as a messenger of the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada expected all of us to do that according to our capacity. Just like a doctor, if he sees a disease, he removes it, even if it causes pain. But that is not violence. That is compassion. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he was Singha Guru. He was like a lion. Mayavadis, when they would see him on the street, they would run the other way. He would accost them on the street. Why are you misleading people? Why are you cheating people? What is this nonsense? Give up this Mayavad. And they could not stand before him. He was such an incredible philosopher. Prabhupada called him a walking encyclopedia. But yet, if you read the books of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the conclusion of his teachings are to become the dust at the lotus feet of Rupa and Raghunath, to be more humble than a blade of grass. When devotees asked Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati about Siddha Pranali, he said, our Siddha Pranali is Trinada Bisu Niche Na Tarora Bisu Hishnana Amani Na Manadena Kirtaniya Sadhadi. Nothing else will be realized without that. So when he was defeating the Mayavadis and the Sahajas with such aggression, he was not doing it with pride or prestige. He was not doing it to defeat them, to be the victorious conqueror. He was doing it like Arjuna, to be the faithful instrument of Krishna, to uphold his Dharma. Does that answer your question?
Thank you very, very much.
Srila Prabhupada ki.